Rumble strips. How many of those rumble strips have caused a conflict in your family? Right? I see that hand, Randall. You know, Lynn and I have this ongoing debate whether or not I'm a good driver. And I think that I'm a good driver. And every time I hit one of those rumble strips, she looks at me and gives me the look, right? And now she drives a car that actually beeps. If you cross the line without having the turn signal on, or even before you get to the rumble strip, the car will beep. And so I get the look a lot these days about my driving. But what Lynn doesn't know yet is I've learned to disengage the beep. And so she thinks that I'm actually doing better than I am. But rumble strips, the idea came to me, the Lord laid on my heart, last November when Lynn and I were visiting a church in South Bend, Indiana. And the idea was that God has put boundaries within his creation to guide us in our lives. And that every time you and I hear that rumble strip, and hopefully you don't hear it very often, but when you do hear it, you'll know that boundaries are a gift from God. They are a gift from God. And I've been taking our staff on Wednesdays through a book called Boundaries by Towns and Cloud. It's a great book. I'd recommend, if you haven't read a book on boundaries, they're a great Christian book. I wish I'd read it 40 years ago. 40 years ago, beginning marriage, beginning ministry, beginning a family, that I would have had a better understanding of the importance of healthy boundaries. Because I grew up in a family without a lot of boundaries. And I've had to learn to follow God's direction when it comes to those boundaries. Now, the name of this sermon this morning is, Are We There Yet? How many of you have been on that road trip with your family and you hear that question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Can create some more drama in the family, in the trip. And the reality is, folks, as families, we never arrive. I talked to folks on the way out the door this morning and they talked about, you know, I wish I'd have known this, and I'm still learning. And these are grandparents, and we're talking together that we're still learning how to build boundaries into our lives. But I believe when we learn God's boundaries, that family will not have as much drama, that we will avoid some pain, and that we can avoid some suffering, and maybe even some destruction. Now, Trevor and Nick did a great job defining God's boundaries a couple weeks ago. And I'm going to need to speed through this sermon, and I preached this message last week over in the auditorium. So if I skip over parts of it to get us to the finish line, you can go online and watch the sermon from last week and get what I leave out. But bottom line, boundaries are property lines. They define what is me and what is not me. What is my responsibility and what is not my responsibility. And the reality is that we need boundaries. And God made us with boundaries. Even our skin forms a boundary. And if we didn't have our skins to protect us, we would be sick all the time. And what I've realized in 40 plus years of ministry, that many of the people that come to see me with family issues and challenges in their life is because they don't have a good understanding of boundaries. And boundaries get out of whack. Now, let me also add that our children and the people in our families are going to take the ramp that they choose, to use the road metaphor. That we can do everything exactly correct in boundaries, and they can still take the wrong ramp. And some of you are wrestling with that now, that you've got a sibling, or you've got a parent, or you've got a spouse, or you've got something in your life where somebody went off the wrong ramp. And God has given us choice. And part of this whole boundary idea is that with our choices come consequences. So it's a tough subject, this idea of boundaries and family, because we live in a broken world where we experience brokenness. And living within boundaries in a family within faith is hard. Now, I want to begin by talking about our family of origin. Now, you and I don't have a choice about our family of origin. It's the family we're born into, the family we're adopted into. It's the people who raise us. It's the people who shape us from our childhood into adulthood. They shape our core beliefs and how we feel about ourselves. And no doubt about it is the family of origin will have an impact on our family of choice and the family that we will live into the rest of our lives. And so it's imperative that as we help launch families that we understand the importance. Because, you see, the family of origin will perpetuate healthy families or unhealthy families that sometimes will have generations of dysfunction. And I believe that quality and God-centered family life is a responsibility of parents and grandparents. God's word is clear that you and I are responsible to help launch these children into the world. Now again, once we've done our part and got them to the ramp, they've got to choose which path they're going to take. But we are to equip them the best we can. And when there is immaturity in the family, when there's poor boundaries, poor choices, children can be raised and released into a world with a distorted view of reality that can have long-term impact. Now, the Bible is full of good stories of good families and some stories of some families that struggle with boundaries. I want to read to you from Genesis 25. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, from Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. Watch what you pray for. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son." And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth, covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. A few men 60 and older sighed right there. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. We see the beginning of some boundaries that are going to go astray. If you read the rest of the story of Rebekah and Isaac and Jacob and Esau, all kinds of boundary issues develop. Picking up the story, when Rebekah overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau, so when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, 'Bring me some wild game and prepare me a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die.' Now, my son," as she whispered to him, "listen to me. Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks, bring me two fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you. Bless you before he dies." "But look," Jacob said to Rebekah, my brother Esau is a hairy man and my skin is smooth. What if my father touches me? He'll see that I'm trying to trick him. Then he'll curse me instead of blessing me." But his mother replied, "Then let the curse fall on me, my son. Just do what I tell you. Go out and get the goats for me." See, we see an example of boundaries gone bad. I want to give you four words here, and I'm not a psychologist, and yet I see here some bad boundaries. As you, first of all, you have Rebekah, who's very controlling. She's a controller in the family. Friends, God never intends us to be God for anyone. And hear this, God doesn't call us to take responsibility for the outcome of their lives. We can pour into our children as we should, but we are not to control our children. We are not to manipulate God's will and God's direction in the life of our children. Controlling is a very unhealthy boundary in families. We find it right here in the Bible. Then you have the compliant type. You know, Jacob could have said no to his mom. He could have said, no, I'm not doing this. This is not right to trick my father. But people who are compliant can't say no. And people that are controllers can't hear no. Two big challenges. And I found in my ministry that people that are compliant often have the hardest time with boundaries because they want to make everybody happy. And in the end, they make nobody happy. And it's very frustrating. And then you have confusion. You got triangles going on, and there's a psychological word called triangularization, where three people are trying to solve a situation without talking to each other. Rebecca is talking to Jacob, and Jacob's talking to his dad, and this whole dysfunction going on of not communicating clearly with each other. And nowhere do we see God's interaction in this conversation. And their choices are made, and then come the consequences. The consequences of Jacob tricking his dad to give him the blessing over his brother Esau. The tragedy of consequences that from that time on, Rebekah never saw again the son she loved. There was a division in the family. And then Esau and Jacob went years and years and years without ever speaking, going their separate ways because of this lack of boundaries. And Esau's people became the Edomites. And for centuries, they were a thorn in the flesh, in the side of the Israelites, a generational curse. And what that tells me, friends, is that boundaryless families create burdens. Families without boundaries can create burdens. I grew up in a family without boundaries. I was born into a family that didn't function real well. Some of you have heard my story. My mom did not carry out her duties as a mom very well. She had no boundaries. My dad was in the military, and while he was gone, the courts came and took us away from the home and put us into foster care because the court deemed that we needed better boundaries in our life. I never saw my mom again. And my dad ended up, you know, coming back and trying to raise us. And my dad ended up being married four times. And I grew up in a family without boundaries. And maybe you're here this morning and that's, you grew up in a similar story without good boundaries. I'm so thankful for the grace of God that when we grow up without boundaries, that God can change us and give us boundaries. Amen. There's a book by Malcolm Gladwell where he talks in a study of entrepreneurs, very successful business people who grew up in families with challenges, with difficulties. And what set these entrepreneurs apart is they didn't make excuses for the way they grew up. And they pushed through the obstacles, pushed through the lack of boundaries, and became very successful. And I stand here before you by the grace of God, that God help me not to use how I grew up as an excuse to live a life without boundaries. I became a Christian at the age of 14, and my sister, who was 15, ran away from home and entered into a boundaryless life. And to this day, she still lives in a world with no boundaries. A life of drugs and a life of being her children removed from her home as well because of lack of boundaries. And God in his grace knew that when I invited into my life that he wanted me to live in a family with boundaries. So I married my wonderful wife who grew up in a family of great boundaries and began to help me see what a healthy family looks like. And it just wasn't Lynn and her family, but as I became a Christian all along the way, God started bringing families into my life that looked good, that looked different than how I grew up. And God used those families to shape me. Friends, we don't have a choice about our family of origin, but we have a choice about our family of faith. Amen? And you're here today because you're choosing to be a part of a family of faith. And some of you are here exploring that, saying, is this an option for me to be a part of a family of faith? Now, when we join the family of faith, God's family, it presents some boundary challenges that can produce some conflict. And I want to be clear that when it comes to boundaries, conflict is not always a bad thing. Conflict can be a very healthy thing, because if we are not saying no to situations that produce some conflict, we are probably living without good boundaries. So picking up the story in Matthew, Jesus says it this way, tough teaching. Matthew 10, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. This is a very tough passage of scripture that Jesus gives us today. But it's a clear passage that we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Jesus said, they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then love your neighbor, love your family, love your friends. See, Jesus is not saying don't love your parents. He's certainly not saying don't love your sons and your daughters, but love me more. And I've learned in my life in ministry and 40 years of marriage that if I love God more, that he'll help me love my wife a lot more. If I love God more, he'll help me love my kids a lot more. And I've learned as a pastor, if I love God more, he'll help me love you more. You see, Jesus is saying, get your priorities right. Get your boundaries right. Fall in love with God. Let God direct your paths and your steps. And one of the huge steps of growing up in a family of origin is to move out from underneath your parental authority and put yourself under God's authority. That God is in control of my life. I know for me personally, whenever I became a Christian in a family that didn't go to church, that me loving God more created some conflict. And that they wonder why I was gone all the time. Where is he at? He's at church. What do you do down there all the time? Why are you at church all the time? And I've learned through the years that it's not healthy to be at church all the time. You need to love God and your family, right? And church comes in that equation. Don't put the church above your family. Keep God first, and then your family, and then comes serving in God's kingdom. I want to give you two really important rumble strips for families of faith. When you come into the family of faith, two crucial rumble strips. These are on a one-lane road, a narrow road, which is often described as God's road. The road to heaven is a narrow road. It's a curvy road, and we need some boundaries. We need some rumble strips on that road. Two words for you. First is grace. It is by the grace of God that you and I enter into the family of faith. That's the right-hand boundary strip for me, is the grace of God. There's a way of salvation. Romans 8, I love how Romans 8, 1 and 2, through the Message version says that with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us now no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A continuous, low-lying black cloud. When you and I experience the grace of God, things change. When I was 14, I can tell you, without Christ in my life, I was living under a low-lying black cloud that hovered over my life. I had no sense of direction. I had no sense of purpose. I was struggling in school. I was headed down the wrong road. I spent more time in those early years in the principal's office than I did in the classroom because I had this low-lying black cloud. But then Jesus Christ came into my life. It says, a new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. You see, when we find the grace of God, he can turn our lives around and get us on the right road. And we need a rumble strip called grace. And there's two aspects of grace. There's the vertical grace, where God comes into our lives and gives us confidence that we're not on this road by ourselves, that he is with us and he is for us. He is in us. But there's also, in the family of faith, horizontal grace. And that's the grace we extend to each other. It's that unconditional love that says, I love you no matter what. Now, let me say to you parents and your grandparents and to some spouses here today that you and I are called to be God's delivery system for grace. That the first example of grace in a child's life needs to come from its mom and its dad, from its grandparents. And some of you are teaching your spouse the meaning of grace. You're God's delivery system for grace that is horizontal because you've experienced it vertically. But the other rumble strip that's very important is on the left side of the road, and that's truth. We've got to have grace and we've got to have truth. Jesus said, I came full of grace and full of truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. In the family of truth, in the family of faith, truth says, I love you enough to tell you you're getting ready to mess up. You're headed for destruction. And if you don't change your ways, it's not going to end well. You see, it's important that we love our people and our families enough to tell them the truth. You know, grace says, I love you no matter what. And truth says, I'm going to be honest with you. I want to tell you the truth. Now, grace is about feeling safe in the family, and truth is about structure. And it's not either or, it's both and. Some families have so much grace that children never experience consequences when they mess up. And that is not a healthy thing. Our children need to experience consequences when they mess up. And some families are so structured that that kids aren't allowed to fail. And kids need to fail. They need to fall flat on their face sometimes and get back up. I know whenever both of our kids had their first car accident, I was so thankful that they had not got hurt, but I was glad they had an accident. My pocketbook wasn't glad, but I knew that they were going to be more careful and more cautious, perhaps because they had failed and they weren't nearly as good a driver as they thought they were. That's what Lynn keeps telling me. But anyway, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Real trouble comes in families when people run over grace and ignore truth. That's when problems set in a family, when we run over grace and ignore truth. And I know that many of you here have felt that in your family, where someone you love very much keeps running over grace. You give them grace and they run over it every time. And they ignore the truth. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what's going on in my life. And all you want to do is give them some grace and tell them some truth. And that's challenging. It's frustrating. It's painful. I believe the very fabric of family and marriage in our culture is in trouble because we run over grace and we ignore the truth. We want to live in a world where there are no boundaries. We want to have a boundaryless culture where everybody does whatever they want to do in whatever way they want to do it. And God is saying, it's not going to work. Hear the truth. The truth will set you free. Now, there's grace when you live into that boundaryless life, but there's also truth. I believe that when we live boundaries in our life, God-given boundaries, it creates blessings. It creates blessings. Now, 2 weeks ago, Nick and Trevor gave you rules for the road when it comes to boundaries. I'm going to go through those very quickly because I'm running short on time. But these rules are very important in a family. First is look both ways. What does that mean is that you look at yourself before you look at the person that you're struggling with. Jesus said it this way. When he said these great words, take the log out of your eye before you try to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Look both ways. You know, one of the ways we can help our children is help them to learn to look both ways. And one of the best ways to help children learn to look both ways is to teach them how to say no. In this world today, oftentimes children don't know how to say no. And as parents and as grandparents, we got to understand that it's okay for them to say no every now and then. In fact, there was a study done in the book that Towns and Cloud wrote about this. And they talk about that there were two young boys who were struggling with the issues of drugs. And one boy caved to the peer pressure, and one boy didn't. And they looked at the dynamics, and one of the things they discovered was that in both families were Christian, both families loved God, but in the family where the young man was able to say no, when he was being raised in that family, he was allowed to say no. He was allowed to disagree in a respectful way and to say no sometimes. But the young man who didn't say no to the drugs had never been allowed to say no. He always was to say yes and be compliant. And the point of all that was so intriguing to me is that sooner or later, our children, our grandchildren are going to have to say, they're going to have to say no. And if we've never helped them say no, they don't know how to say no. And we got to teach them that it's okay to say no. And it's also important to teach them to make choices. And give them choices. When they're children, let them have some choices. Let them decide what's going to be for supper, even though you don't like that. Not all the time, but occasionally. Train them how to say a choice. Let them decide where you're going to go on a trip. Give them some input. Not every time. You can't go to Disney World every year. But I think it's so important. That was intriguing to me. As a grandfather, I want to do a better job of that. Helping my grandkids learn to say no, and also to make choices. So look both ways. And sometimes the hardest people to help is the people that are closest to us. Number two is stay in your lane. Carry your own load. Stay in your lane. And what does that mean? It means, number one, is to please God more than you want to please people. See, boundary issues begin to reveal themselves when we're trying to please people. And trying to make, you know, this idea that we got to make our kids happy all the time. That's not reality, folks. You know, we are to honor God first and then people next. And we live in a world where pleasing people is an honorable thing to do. Try to make everybody happy. Nobody can get their feelings hurt anymore because everybody's got to feel good about themselves. That's not reality. You know, we need to make sure that we're pleasing God before we're pleasing people. And when we're pleasing God, we will certainly get the people thing right. And number three is make some noise. What does that mean with boundaries in a family? It is to clarify your boundaries. That choices lead to consequences. And that if you do this, this is going to happen. And that's non-negotiable. You got to clarify your boundaries. You also got to communicate them. You know, one of the things that Lynn and I didn't do a good job of because we had not really learned a lot about boundaries is we probably didn't communicate the boundaries real clearly to our kids. These are the rules of the road. You know, if you break this rule, then this is the consequences. And you can do that without a lot of emotion because you've already established the rules. Now, we did that pretty well only because of the grace of God. But if I had to do it over again, I would name those boundaries. In fact, in your bulletin are some examples of some good family boundaries. And I'm sure you've got some already put together, but it's important that we not just, those aren't guesswork. I didn't know. Oh yeah, we talked about this. Nobody told me. Oh yeah, remember they're over on your bedroom door. These are our boundaries in the family. These are the rules that we live by here, and those are grace-filled things. And when we mess up, there is grace. There's also truth. You know, one thing that Oakley said to me, one of our youth leaders here, youth staff, about how important it is to establish boundaries for our kids and clarify those. He said he was given this advice when he got married by his future father-in-law. Your role as a father is to help your children and my grandchildren hear the voice of the Heavenly Father. That's a great statement, isn't it? Is to clearly communicate God-given boundaries so that our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, the people we love the most can hear the voice of God. I sent this text out to several men on Father's Day. What would break my heart more? that my kids won't end up loving me or they won't end up loving Jesus? What's going to break my heart more? And the reality is, if my kids grow up loving Jesus, they'll probably love me too. But if it's all about me and them liking me, and I miss teaching them about Jesus, I've really messed up. You see, Rebecca made it all about her. All about her idea. And it produced great havoc. You know, there's some boundary benefits that I'm going to skip over because they're on last week's live stream. But one of the boundary benefits that come from following God's boundaries is that we learn to get out of the way and let God do what only God can do. And folks, the reality is that sometimes we're the problem and it's not the other person. And if we'll get out of the way, get off the throne, and let God do what God can do, quit trying to fix people. You know, my idea, I learned this as a pastor many years ago. Didn't learn this in seminary, but I learned this, that my job as a pastor is not to change anybody. My job is to just present the love of God. You know, my job today was to put together a sermon, and guess what? Your responsibility is to decide what you do with it. I can't decide that for you. That's totally up to you. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever would choose to believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God gives us a choice. There's boundaries in your notes. There's also a boundary quiz you can take. Lynn and I took that together, and she answered some questions differently than I thought she should have answered, and I probably answered some questions differently than she thought I should have answered. So I would suggest you don't do that as a couple, okay? So take that boundary quiz, and you'll find out whether or not you got good boundaries or not. I want to close with a story from the Bible of good boundaries. Story about a father who loved his two sons very much. One of the sons wanted to get his family inheritance, his part of the share of the inheritance, and leave the family and go his own way. So the father loved him so much that he said, you know, I think it's a bad choice, but you got to live with this choice. So the young man got the inheritance, and if you know the story, he went out and squandered it. He wasted it. There was nothing left. He lived a boundaryless life. He lost everything, this young man. And then he came to his senses and knew that he had a father at home that loved him. And if he would go back home, perhaps his father would let him become a servant in his house. And so the young man got up from the pig pen, from the disaster of his boundaryless life, and ran home to his dad. And the scripture says that his dad stood on the front porch and saw his son coming from a distance and then ran down the road to meet him. That's the father that we serve. He calls us to come into the family of faith, to get some direction when it comes to boundaries, to live a life of grace and a life of truth, to love people enough to tell them the truth. I want to be a pastor who's willing to tell you the truth, not make you feel good. Sometimes when people go out after my sermon and go, that was a really good sermon, I'm saying, that wasn't what I was looking for, you know? I wanted you to leave here going, man, that's tough. That's how we should love each other. Love people unconditionally, but tell people the truth. We're going to sing a closing song, and I just want to, the altar will be open for you to come and pray for, maybe there's a person in your family that's living a boundaryless life, and you want to pray for them today. Maybe you need to enter into the family of God today, the family of faith. You can do that. I love this song, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Let's sing it together.